Well, praise the Lord. It is good to see everybody here today. Easter Sunday. Easter. It's what makes us who we are. And we're gathered together here as a witness to the whole world that we are His children called by His name. And in a lot of countries, they can't gather together in safety anymore, can they? It's a privilege that we shouldn't take for granted. So it is good to be here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And we give you thanks, Lord, for the sacred and holy ground here upon which we're gathered. And we pray, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit upon us. Refresh our spirits, God. We come here to scrape off the crud of the world and become more like Jesus. Pour out your spirit upon this service, Lord, and we pray that it will be pleasing unto you and life-changing to us, God. We pray that when we leave here, Lord, we will not be the same, but that we will live and move by resurrection power. So have your way with us. Fill us all with love for one another, and fill us especially with love for you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.
Good morning, and happy Easter, and what a glorious day. If you haven't already, take a look around our sanctuary. It is certainly breathtakingly beautiful this morning, all in honor of our risen Savior. I do offer a warm welcome again to all of you, especially our new confirmands that we will meet later in the service, members from the new member class and their families and friends, and any visitors that we do have here with us this morning. And also at some time during worship, if you would like information about our church, please see one of our ushers, or we also have packets of information immediately out the double doors in the narthex hanging on a shepherd's crook. I would ask that you sign the registration sheet in the red folders. They are located at the end of your pews. Pass it to others in your pew and then bring it back to the center aisle. Also this morning, if you have a prayer request, you will find 3x5 index cards in those red holders. Complete that card and then put it in the clear holder at the end of your pew. The ushers will bring it up before prayer time. Our memory verse for April is printed at the top front page of your bulletin. Join me now, and we will recite it twice through. John 11:35. Jesus wept. John 11:35. Jesus wept. We have many announcements this morning, and I will highlight a few. A special thank you to all who did purchase flowers to join the church this morning. Each flower is marked with the owner's name. There's a little card. So if you are taking a flower today after worship, please take the one with your name on it. The work trip volunteers, this is just a reminder that if you are an adult or any youth 18 years of older and out of high school that will be going on our summer work trip to Philippi, West Virginia, you do need both a child abuse and a criminal record check. So there are forms in the office. If you have any questions, please contact the office. Diane Runster has an announcement.
I don't see any other Easter bonnets. You have another chance. In 2 weeks, it's Holy Humor Sunday. And that's the day that we strive to extend the joy of the Easter season by actually doing something sometimes unheard of in church. Laugh. Okay, that was really sad. Anyway, we ask that you wear something on your head. It can either be a designer fashion like what I have on now, or it can be anything of humorous. Just wear something on your head. And after the second service, we have a Holy Humor Luncheon. And we ask that you bring a dish to pass, anything you want. There's two requirements. First, that it be for 10 to 12 people. Second, that it be edible. Okay, it's a holy humor dish. You can call it whatever you want. You can color it anything you want, like green eggs and ham. But anyway, we hope that you'll come on that Sunday and extend the joy of the Easter season. Looking a little bit further ahead, so that you can be thinking, starting next week, there will be a sign up in your bulletin for 2 weeks for Mother's Day flowers. We're going to be ordering geraniums. So be thinking about how many you'd like to order so that next week when the form's there, you can get it in. Thank you, and happy Easter, everyone.
Just mention that this coming week, for those of you who don't know, I'll be on vacation. But I will be in on Wednesday at 1 o'clock for our Bible study that we have every other week. It's held right past the narthex in front of my office. You are all more than welcome to come. So that's on the 19th. And then also on the 19th, this coming Wednesday, 6 o'clock in the evening, we will be holding our depression and anxiety support group meeting. And it's confidential. It's also held right out in front of my office. And we gather together and we share, we exchange ideas, and have a word of prayer and encourage one another. And that's available to anybody. So invite your friends for the depression and anxiety meeting this Wednesday at 6, or come out for the Bible study at 1 p.m.
Thank you, Pastor. And just one final reminder, the camp fundraiser. Laurie Saperito has asked me to remind you that you can still order your hoagies for the camp, for the youth that will go to summer camp. There are order forms in the narthex. When you go out of the doors, they're right on a table to the left. They will be delivered next week. So if you would like to support the youth, and I hope you do, please place your order for a hoagie. And at this time, I would ask that you now turn your hearts and minds to our worship.
To you. Oh, Jesus, how could this have happened?
Do not be afraid. Why are you weeping?
They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him.
Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, is not here. He has been raised. Look, this is the place where they have laid him.
But where is he?
Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?
Oh, sir, please, if you have carried him off, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.
Mary.
Rabboni, it is you.
Do not hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them I will see them in Galilee.
Hallelujah! Peter, he is risen. John, I have seen him. He lives. He lives.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's stand and sing with a lot of gusto and celebration and love. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you.
seated.
Morning. Give me five. Yes. We're going good. Got five. Give me five. Yes. When I come up here and squeeze, I'll do this. It just plop down wherever you're at. That's good, too. That's good. Okay. Well, happy Easter. Who loves us? Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, Jesus loves you. Yeah, he used to be in that tomb and he's not there anymore. And that's what today is all about, isn't it? Easter. Yeah, I got something here to... You got superheroes from the Easter Bunny. Well, that's... Okay. Sounds good to me. Girls, here comes one for you. And here's one for you. And here's one for you. Okay, now the guys. For you. Okay. All right, what did I just give you? An Easter egg. Oh, Michael, sorry. Michael Motorcycle. Let's see here. Okay, go ahead and open it. What's in it? Nothing's in there. And why does it remind us of Easter? Because Jesus rose from the dead and the grave, the tomb, is empty. Jesus is not in there. And that's what reminds us about Easter. The grave is empty. Jesus is alive. And so you should show that to your friends and say, this is all about Easter. And when they say, why, you tell them, because Jesus is alive and the grave is empty. Okay, so you need to tell people that. We need to tell the whole world that he is risen. It's really important for them to know. They need to hear that. So I'd like you to go and tell somebody that Jesus is risen. Go spread the good news. Tell somebody, anybody you want to, that Jesus is risen. Yep, and then come on back up here. Okay, we're gonna huddle up and pray. See, it's good to tell your friends, your classmates, your neighbors, your family. Tell them that Jesus is alive and that Jesus loves them bunches and bunches. Okay, let's pray. Only if you can make it. That's all right. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we give you thanks for Easter. Thank you that you loved us so much. You raised Jesus from the dead forevermore, and now we don't have anything to be afraid of. So Jesus, we love you. Help us to share the good news with our friends and family. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen.
No more time.
Everybody will please turn to page 33 in your hymnal, and will the confirmation class, their sponsors and family, come on up? Let's stand towards the front here, right along the front pew. Please follow along. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. And through confirmation, through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. Page 34. Actually, I'll tell you what, Stephen, would you read the names? You're not mic'd. You need a mic. There we go. Read the names. This is who's here for our confirmation class today.
Axel Reed, Savannah Lorenk, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, Benjamin Bergman, Alexander Riffer, and Kyle Lander.
Okay. To this confirmation class. I had a lot of fun with you guys. And I hope that you continue to come. You know, the standing joke in any church is that once you confirm them, baptize them, make them members, that's the last you see of them. Let's not let that be the case, but continue to come and to have fellowship, to strengthen this church, and to learn more about Jesus. So I ask you, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. So this is not baptism, this is confirmation. And sponsors have a very important role in their lives because you will continue to encourage them and you will do all that you can to help them to remain steadfast in their faith and to encourage them in their membership in the church. So to the sponsors, will you nurture this person in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, answer, I will. To the confirmation class, According to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? If so, answer, I will. And will you who sponsor these candidates support and encourage them in their Christian life? If so, answer, I will. Just so you know, this is your family out here. I know you may not want to admit that you're related to some of these folks, but you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your family. So to the family, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, do you, as Christ's body of the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? And just in case you're wondering where we're getting all this is page 35 of your hymnal. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We're on page 37, a little over halfway down, number 12, to my confirmation class here. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. Kyle Lander, I don't have these in any particular order, but Kyle, step up here. Bring your sponsors, your family with you. Why don't you kneel down here, Kyle? We're going to lay hands on him. Okay. Pastor Stephen and I are going to lay hands upon you, Kyle, and I have this prayer for you. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. You can stand up, Kyle. Turn around, face. There's your confirmation stole, which is a place around you. And I want to present you with this NIV study Bible. Learn it well, for it is the words of life. Share it with others. Don't keep it to yourself. If you have questions, ask. But read a little bit of it, just as often as you can. I would say every day. But if you miss a day, you miss a couple of days, don't let it stop you. Get right back on the horse. Read it. Inwardly digest it, for it is life to you and to others. Pastor Stephen has a certificate of confirmation for you and a cross. Thank you. Alexander Riffer. Alex. Alex, kneel down, please. Alex, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And all of God's children said, amen. Here's a stole for someone to put on him. Confirmation is a rite of passage. Confirmation is also of particular importance when we're baptized as infants. People say, well, a baby doesn't know what they believe or what they don't believe. Well, that's why when you're baptized, you're baptized in a community of faith, and they all raise that child. And then when they become of age through confirmation class, that's when they profess their faith to their family, to the congregation. But here is the Word of God, which is also called the sword of the Spirit. You have to learn it, because without it, you are unarmed, defenseless against the enemy. And the devil knows what's in here. So you can't make up words, but you've got to quote and stand on the Word of God as it is written. Learn it well. Pastor Stephen has your certificate and your cross. Benjamin Bergman. Ben, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And all of God's children said, Amen. If you ever need somebody to do a dramatic reading, Ben is the man. He is a very, very good reader. The sword of the Spirit. The NIV, New International Version, is what we call a middle-of-the-road translation. Some people have problems with it, some don't. You'll find worse, you'll find better, but it's a good place to start. It'll do you no good if you never look in it. So study it, learn it, digest it, discuss it with other people. Pray about it. It is the sword of the Spirit. Pastor Steve has the Pastor Stephen confirmation in that. And then we have Savannah Lorenz. Savannah, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And all of God's children said, Amen. You've heard me tell the others, but this is a study Bible, which means it is to be studied, to gone over, to ask questions. There are other books that help us to understand the Bible called commentaries, Bible dictionaries. Gather those around you. Build yourself a library that has to do with the Word of God. For the Word of God is life. It is life for you and for others. Learn it, digest it, and share it. And here's your confirmation certificate and cross. Last but not least, we have Axel Reed. Axel, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And all of God's children said, Amen. The world is full of opposition to Christians, to Jesus. The world is full of evil, heartache, problems. This word deals with all that. This word is living and alive. It's not just mere ink on pages, but it is the Word of God, and it will change things. It will change people. So learn it and quote it and stand on the Word of God, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear. You stand on the Word of God and have faith in us, for it's God's promise, and God never breaks His promise. And Pastor Stephen has your confirmation certificate and cross. Oh, and we got the stole. Okay, if everybody will turn around and face the congregation to the confirmation class. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, answer, I will. Again, the confirmation class. As members of this congregation of the First United Methodist Church of Irwin, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? If so, answer, I will. And so, members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to uphold and to care for them, to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We're on page 38, by the way. And for Alex, a special prayer. Lord, touch him with a healing touch. And now, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. So welcome to the family of God here at Irwin First United Methodist Church. Walk faithfully with your Lord. One day you will hear him say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Maybe seated.
At this time, I ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Lord, you have given us so much. There's no way we can begin to compare with the gift that you've given us. But we do thank you for this opportunity to give back to you just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. It is our hope and our prayer that it represents everything that we have and everything that we are. So we ask that you would bless and multiply it, use it as you see fit through the ministries of this church, for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, for the spreading of the message that he is risen to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We are a blessed people, are we not? We are children of Almighty God. No matter what we're going through, God is always with us, and God is greater than any problem that we have. So if there is anything in your life that you are thankful about, that you appreciate, answered prayer, blessings that you have, blessings in somebody else's life, anything for which you're thankful, I want you to raise your hand, give it a wave, and say, praise the Lord. Okay. And now for our concerns, we're going to do the same thing. But the Word of God tells us that if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. We have favor with God and man. And no matter what happens to us, my God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. All that is God's promise to us. So if you have a concern for yourself, no matter how small it is or how big, you have a concern for somebody else, some situation in the world, somebody in a family or a neighbor, I want you to raise your hand again. Let that be your act of faith. While that hand is up there, we want to remember the Nicholas Singhos family and the Ferrara family. And we always like to say, Lord, hear our prayers. So, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And we add our faith one unto the other as we say to you, thank you. Thank you for our many, many blessings. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us, God, to use those blessings the way you intended, in order for us to be a blessing to others, so that they too will come to know your love. And God, for our concerns today, you know the details, spoken and unspoken. You know everything that's going on in our hearts. And God, we've heard your word, and we believe it. We stand on your word. And we say, we believe, help our unbelief, O Lord God. And we would be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise, for you alone are worthy. For all of this we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. This is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize who it was. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them the things he had said to her. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Okay. The hams are baking. Potatoes are boiling. I'll try not to hold you up too long here. I had two sermons. When I was getting ready for Easter, I thought, you know, Easter, man. We need something really special for Easter. I know that, you know, the big thing is, and you see it all over Facebook and in the news, and we hear it at church. Everybody says, "He is risen." And the response is, "He is risen indeed." You know, I thought, you know, that's pretty good. Maybe I'll just do that for my sermon. I'll do that. I'll just come in and say, "It's Easter Sunday. He is risen." What more needs to be said? What more needs to be said? There is nothing more important in the whole world or in our lives than that. God loves you, and so do I. Yeah, but I couldn't do that. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I've got a captive audience here. Let's see. I want to tell you a story. I'm going to trim this down a little bit. There was a good Christian man who was doing very well in life. Had a nice home. His health was pretty good. He had a good job, good decent income, nice car. He was actively involved in church, and he'd prayed, you know. He'd asked Jesus to come into his life, and he invited Jesus into his home and his life. He said, "Jesus," he says, I'll give you the best room in the house. That's my bedroom. He says, it's large. It's got living room furniture in it even, a TV, internet, its own bathroom. Now it's got a balcony outside. That room is yours, Jesus. And so Jesus came and lived with him. Man felt pretty good about life. He'd go to work. He'd come home. He'd eat dinner. He'd sit down on the couch and he'd watch the news at 6 o'clock. One day he sat down to watch the news at 6 o'clock. And all of a sudden there was a pounding at the door. And I mean a pounding. And he got up, he went to the front door, and he thought, well, who's this? And he opened up the door, and there stood Satan. The devil was standing there screaming at him. Smell, oh, he smelled so bad. And the guy just jumped back and slammed the door shut. Whew, what was that all about? And he looked out the window. There was nobody there. Oh, man. And he walked away. He went about his business. Next day, went to work, came home, had dinner. Sat down to watch the news at 6 o'clock, and all of a sudden there was a pounding at the door, worse than the night before. The door was rattling. The guy was a little nervous. He remembered what he saw yesterday. He thought that had to have been just a dream. This can't be happening. And so he walked down the hall, and the door was shaking. And he opened up the door, and there stood Satan again. And the heat came off of him. And Satan reached out and almost touched him. And he was speaking in many voices. And the guy was sick, frightened to death. What is going on here? And the man grabbed the door and he started shutting it. And Satan put his hand out. And the man struggled and struggled. And he finally got the door shut. And he backed up and he was soaked with sweat, shaken. He was,
Wow. And he turned around. He looked up the steps at the door to his bedroom, and it was closed. And he thought, I don't know if I should go up and say something or what. I mean, surely he knows. And so the man went about his business. The next day, he went into work, though it wasn't a good day. He came home, and he didn't have much of an appetite. He kept looking at the clock. It kept getting closer and closer to 6. He said, this just can't be happening. 6 o'clock, the whole house started shaking. The windows started vibrating. And he walked out in the hall, and he could actually see light coming around the door, flames and smoke. And he heard hideous screeching and yelling. And he just felt himself drowned down the hall. He couldn't resist. He walked down the hall, and he reached out, and he grabbed the doorknob. It was hot to the touch. The smell made him sick to his stomach. And he opened the door up, and Satan says, I want you. You're mine. You're mine. And there was a demon horde with him, and they were just pushing their way into the house, and the man screamed out, no, 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 and he fights, and he gets the door closed, and the man turns around, and he falls on his knees, and he throws up, and he's soaked with sweat, he's scared, he's sobbing, he's crying. He says, I can't take this, and he goes up the steps, and he knocks on his bedroom door. Jesus says, come in. And the man stumbles into the room, and he says, Jesus, don't you know what's going on down there? And Jesus says, I know. Haven't you seen who's been here? Jesus says, I saw. I wanted to help you. And the man says, well, why didn't you? And Jesus says, because all you gave me was this room. This was the only part of your life that you invited me into. You didn't give me the rest of the house. And the man realized he'd done that. Church was for church. Then there was work and then play and his relationships. But he had Jesus in this nice little box. Gave him the best room in the house, but not the rest of it. And the man fell down on his knees and he begged for forgiveness. He repented. And him and Jesus, man, they just had a great conversation. And the next day, the man got up. He felt pretty good, and he went to work, and he came home, and he had a good meal, and he almost forgot about it. And when it hit 6 o'clock, it was like World War II. Just the whole house was vibrating, the loud screeching noises. He heard Satan yelling and screaming out of his front door, and he couldn't help himself. He walked down the hallway towards the door. The walls were pulsating in and out. The door was going back and forth. Smoke, flames. And he got there, and he was scared to death because he knew that Satan almost grabbed him last time. And he knew that there was no way he could get away. And he reached out, and he grabbed the doorknob. And then he felt a hand on his shoulder. And he looked over his shoulder, and it was Jesus. Jesus says, I got this. I got this. And the man backed up, and Jesus stepped up and opened the door. And Satan went, ah! Oh, I didn't know you lived here. And Jesus said, yes, this is my house, my home. He belongs to me. Beat it, turkey. So he had to leave. It says in James chapter 4, verse 7, to submit yourself unto God. To submit everything that we are and everything that we have. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. When God is in our lives, we are filled with the power of the resurrection. A power that broke all the laws of nature, that turned the world upside down. A power that transformed the lives of a handful of men so that they spread the gospel message all over the world, and it has done nothing but grown from that time over 2,000 years ago in spite of all the persecution. They wouldn't quit. They wouldn't back up. They wouldn't give in. That was because of the power of the resurrection. Dr. Siemens, he wrote this article, and it says that in Africa, there was a Muslim who converted to Christianity. Somebody asked him why he did that. And he said, it's like this. Suppose you're going down the road and suddenly the road forks in two different directions and you don't know which way to go. There at the fork in the road, there's two men, one dead and one alive. Which one would you ask which way to go? We serve a risen Savior. God is greater than any problem that we have. And Easter, we talk about He is risen, He is risen. It's true, He is. But we need to talk about, which we're doing here, talk about now what? What happens because He is risen? Because the power that raised Him from the grave is in our lives. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And Romans 6, verse 3 says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of God the Father, we too may live a new life. I don't know what you're facing in your life, but I want you to know this. I got this. I got this. I got this. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you're facing, I got this. No matter what it is God calls you to do, Jesus is right there with His resurrection power. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. God is greater than any problem that we have. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. Right about now, you're wishing that either you were sitting on the end aisle or you were sitting at the other end. I've got this. 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 Imagine feeling His hand on your shoulder. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. Resurrection power, my brothers and sisters. When you go home today and you celebrate, don't forget that no matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, no matter what anybody else is going through, there's nothing to be worried about. Nothing at all to be worried about. Just as we were baptized into His death, we were also baptized into His resurrection. And if you're sitting the fence about this, you need to ask Jesus into your heart anew. Because Jesus wants to go through life with you, through all the good times and all the bad. And no matter what we face, I've got this. That's what the resurrection is all about. So, He is risen. God loves you, and so do I. The ushers, please. We're about to take communion. We're going to use the, what I call the shortened form. But we're going to take it together. We'll hand it out, you hold on to it, and then we will all take of the bread together and then drink of the cup together. It's what binds us together as family, whether we know each other or not. Doesn't matter. We are brothers and sisters in Christ because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, because of the resurrection. The Bible also tells us that if you hold any malice in your heart, any anger. Give that up. Forgive those who have hurt you, because we've been forgiven. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So please prepare your hearts for communion. On the night that Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples, that night that he would be betrayed, Jesus took that bread, and after he had blessed it, we pray, Lord, that you would bless for us this bread, that it would be for us the body of Christ. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And after he had blessed the cup, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this cup, that it would be for us the blood of Christ, the cup of the new covenant. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink you all of this, for this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." He said, "As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless our hearts right now, that as we take communion, we would surrender all of our lives to you. Help us to trust in you, God. Help us to trust in you and to believe that you got this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. His body given for us. Take and hold it up. Take and eat. The shed blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Grape juice. But Jesus is in and through that. He's all part of that. And as we partake of that, we are hugging Jesus, inviting him into our lives, and being one with one another. We're all saying together that we believe. And why did he have to shed his blood? Why couldn't he have just taken some punishment and that have been good enough? Because Jesus showed us by his example that there's holding nothing back. We can't hold anything back. We've got to go all the way. He did. He went all the way and fully paid that price for us. And as Christians, we have to go all the way too. Not only do we have to love Jesus more than we love father, mother, brother, sister, more than we love life itself, we have to love Jesus to where we're willing to step out in faith and live by the power of the resurrection. Jesus said that if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed and you say to this mountain, "Be removed," it'll be cast into the sea. That goes against the laws of nature. So does raising people from the dead. Restoring to the sight those who were blind. Making the lame to walk, opening up the ears of the deaf, walking on water, multiplying a few fish and loaves of bread to feed 5,000, 25,000. Goes against the laws of nature. Don't you see that? It's in the Word of God. You and I, man, we serve a risen Savior. And because of that, you and I can live by resurrection power. Because he loves us. His blood shed for us. Hold it up. Take and drink. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand and sing. Christ the Lord is risen today. Oh, up from the grave he arose. Sorry, we already sang the other one. Up from the grave he arose. Thank you. Thank you for coming out here today, for being patient. Go and enjoy your celebrations and be safe and spread the good news. Spread the good news that no matter what we're going through, Jesus got this. He's got it. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us and give us the boldness to preach the word to the surrounding communities, to our family and friends. Give us the boldness, God, to proclaim to the world that he is risen. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, he is risen.